This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Overwhelming Weight of Evidence Division here at Car Talk Plaza. Boy, do we have divisions, huh?
Now, actually, I think this one should be called It Takes One to Know One Division.
Yeah?
This is a story which I read in a local paper, which I won't mention the name of.
Okay.
Because then it would divulge the identities, perhaps, of the people involved, which is unnecessary to the paper. But evidently, there were a couple of police officers who in this town were claiming harassment by their superior officer, the sergeant. And they sued him. They actually sued him. And they had all kinds of evidence about harassment and about racism and all kinds of things. And they offered as evidence for the harassment, they were getting phone calls in the middle of the night. I guess this is a husband and wife or something. They were getting phone calls in the middle of the night, and people would call 2 a.m. No one would say anything, hang up. So this guy goes out and buys himself one of those caller ID things. He offers as evidence the following. He traces the call with his caller ID thing, right? And he gets the number. And as evidence, he says, I know it was this guy because I traced the calls to the phone booth outside the Dunkin' Donuts. So help me, I didn't make this up. So help me, I didn't make it up.
Sounds good to me.
It takes one to know. He knows how he would do it.
It reminds me of the time our good pal Joe DeFutis,
yeah,
who was getting similar phone calls at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, decided to change his phone number. And he was getting calls. Sometimes there would be no one on the line. He'd stumble out of bed, go to the phone, which was in the garage, and he'd answer it, and there'd be nobody there. But more often than not, it was somebody speaking Spanish. And so he decided abruptly to change his phone number.
No one knows the new number.
Have it completely unlisted. And his wife calls me at work that morning, the day of the change, to tell me that the number is being changed. So he gets home from work at 3:30, and I have the new number. And I call him. Now, he's not expecting a phone call because not a soul in the world knows his new number. And when he picks up the phone, he says, hello. I say something like, ¿está Pedro en casa? And I wish I could have seen his face going, oh, man, how do they do this? If you want to call us with a question or just to harass us from your local Dunkin' Donuts, our phone number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello?
Yes, who's this?
Autumn Leaves.
Autumn Leaves.
Leaves.
Autumn? Yes.
Autumn?
Autumn.
L-E-A-S?
L-E-E-S.
Autumn Leaves.
Yes.
Really?
Really.
Really.
Okie doke.
You say it like long-sufferingly. Where are you from, Autumn?
I'm from Douglas, Mass.
Douglas. That would be like west of Boston.
Never heard of it.
It's near Worcester.
Oh, Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Near Worcester. So Autumn is your first name?
Yes.
And Lees?
Leaves.
Not leaves. Lees. L-E-E-S. I got it. I'm quicker than him.
No, I got it. Lees is your last name.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it could have been Autumn Lees. At least could have been a middle name.
It used to be a middle
name. Or it could have been, used to be a middle name. Never mind.
Never mind.
We know.
So what's up, Autumn?
So my sister has a 94 Ford Probe,
mm-hmm,
that only has 26,000 miles on it.
And she wants to sell it to you.
No.
No.
It's a front-wheel drive vehicle.
Yeah.
And she can't even get up her hill where she lives when there's any snow or ice.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe you would have a suggestion other than I mean, weight in the back isn't going to help a front-wheel drive car, is it?
No, and sitting on the hood is kind of interferes with your visibility.
Before we continue, we have to know what her first name is.
Her name is Sale.
Sale?
S-A-I-L-E.
You had some interesting parents, eh?
Do you have any other siblings?
Normal names.
Really?
Yes.
So the girls got the wacko names and the boys got the names like Bill and Fred?
Yeah.
Autumn is a... Autumn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boy, there's a mean streak in someone there in the family. Anyway.
No, it's a great name.
You made these names up. Come on.
No, they're real.
Autumn.
Really?
Autumn leaves.
What?
If when I could, autumn leaves.
If I could pry a little bit more.
Sure, go ahead.
What's your mother's name?
Ginger.
Ginger. That's Ginger. A wonderful name.
And dad?
Frank.
Frank. Good name.
Frank.
Ginger Girl and Frank. Ginger and Frank.
And where are you in the birth order?
I'm first.
Yeah, I had a suspicion you were number one.
Ah, yes.
And then Sale is two, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Sale is two. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, just based on this information, I'm going to tell you how old you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You're 28.
Oh, no.
No?
Oh, no. 42.
33.
28.
I was in the middle.
Right in the middle. No, because I realized that the names Autumn and Sale had to have come during the wacko 60s.
Actually, Autumn comes from my father's old girlfriend.
He names his firstborn child after a previous girlfriend? And your mother says, sure.
And where does Sale come from?
A friend of my mother's.
A friend. No.
Just a friend?
Were they at Woodstock?
No.
They weren't?
No. My father's 72.
Oh.
Yeah. Could have been at Woodstock.
Could have been at
Woodstock. This is all very interesting. Actually, a few more pieces of information will have the entire dossier. All right, so we'll get back to the probe.
We've
probed enough.
The probe.
She can't come up.
What does she expect?
Yeah, because it's not heavy enough.
So what do you do about that?
Well, I mean, first of all, it is true that front-wheel drive cars, for some magical reason that nobody really understands, are better in the snow than rear-wheel drive cars, all things being equal.
Right.
Well, no, that's not entirely true. The reason front-wheel drive cars are better is, that in general, they have more weight over the wheels that are driving the car than rear-wheel drive vehicles had recently.
Look. Right.
Well, there are other factors involved.
There are lots of them.
There are other factors. For example, a car's ground clearance has a lot to do with how well it behaves in the snow, too.
Mm.
You know, and more than anything, not more than anything, but counting for a whole lot.
The driver.
No, the tires. And I would guess that she has, at 26,000 miles, the original tires that came with the car.
Right.
Yeah. Which at best are a compromised kind of tire. They're all-season radial tires.
Right.
And they're probably pretty much worn out by now. So she could notice a vast improvement just by buying brand new tires of the same kind that came on the car when she got it.
Okay.
Because when she first got it, it wasn't so lousy.
Well, it might have been.
No, it wasn't great.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't great, but it's gotten lousier.
Probably.
I mean, people think that because it's front-wheel drive car, they mistakenly believe that therefore they're great in the snow. You don't have to worry about anything, and that's absolutely not true.
Mm.
And what makes it even worse is when you have a car that has a little bit too much power. The ones that are good front-wheel drive cars in the snow are the ones that don't have a lot of power.
Like my Colt Vista.
Like my brother's Colt Vista. But
it's great
if you have
in snow.
A relatively light front-wheel drive car with a little bit too much power and lousy tires, then you're going to be in big trouble in the snow. So she's got to...
So I
would put snow tires on it.
Snow tires?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would consider snow tires, but she might want to call the Ford dealer because they may have other recommendations.
Okay.
I'm sure she's not the only one that's complained about this.
I wouldn't think so.
Especially out in Worcester. Because you all have had a lot of snow this winter.
Yes,
and may
we
you
have.
Continue to get a lot of snow if it means that we don't.
No, thanks a lot.
So tell us to investigate the possibility of getting snow tires, but count on this.
Okay.
It will snow no more this winter.
And okay. You know why?
Why?
Because my brother went out and bought a snowblower. And you can be guaranteed that it's going to be 50 degrees for
my
the next 2 months.
My wife threatened to run away from home and leave the kids behind.
Well, thanks for calling, Autumn, and okay. Tell your sister. Is your sister Sail?
Yeah.
The autumn leaves sail by my window. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, we've got more calls on the Puzzler Answer coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Your elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive entirely its own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
Okay, anyway, it's time once again for my brother to demonstrate to the world that he lacks most of the essential chemicals required for basic neural transmission. Or even automatic transmission.
Jeez.
I know, you don't remember, do you? That's okay.
I have no...
That's what I figured.
No recollection.
Anyway, we got this puzzler from our very own Ken Rogers.
Oh, of course.
Who not only found it...
But solved it.
Lost it, refound it, and solved it. Needless to say...
And convinced you... That his solution was correct,
well,
which you denied.
We vehemently
for months. We have to put that in because it's true.
Well, I only denied it because I didn't look at it closely enough. But, and I don't remember the, I think he changed the original puzzle.
Oh, sure. Blame him. He gave you the solution. You said, oh, Ken, you're nuts. That's wacko.
All right. Anyway,
I remember the discussion clearly. I have a terrific memory.
Here it is. Do you remember many years ago, the first time Ma got out of prison, we baked that cake?
Yes.
The cake was a replica of the one we used to sneak the file into, into the big house.
We were celebrating that little occurrence.
It was square. It was like 10 inches on each side and a few inches high enough to hide the file.
Yeah.
Anyway, there were five of us there to celebrate Mom's break. I mean, release. There was Ma, of course, and Pa.
Ma.
You, me, and our little sister, Lucille,
yeah.
And we were having this little celebration. We had this square cake, so we frosted the cake, as you would frost any cake, the top and the four remaining sides, and not the bottom, of course. The problem we faced was this. How could we cut the cake such that each and every one of the five participants would get a piece that not only had the same volume...
Of cake.
Right. You know that. You know how snarly Mom gets when
we
short her on a piece of cake, but also the same amount of frosting.
Yeah. This was important because there were a whole room full of whiners and snivelers.
Yes.
And one person gets a piece a little different.
So here we've got a square cake.
Got it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We call this a rectangular solid, I believe. Is that what you'd call a square cake?
I call it a square cake.
Okay.
Yeah.
A few inches tall, and we didn't divulge the height, and that was a huge hint.
No.
Well, it was a hint.
Yeah, it was a hint, yeah. Okay.
So how do we split it up into five equal pieces, each with the same volume and each with the same amount of frosting?
Surely. Yeah.
Well, the way Mr. Rogers set about solving it was rather simple, and it turned out to be the answer. If you change it into a two-dimensional problem,
uh-huh.
which is the only way I could visualize it. And what allows you to change it into a two-dimensional problem is that we didn't specify how high the cake is. Had we specified it, it might have complicated it. Anyway, what Mr. Rogers did was he found the midpoint of the cake, looking at it from the top.
Sure. That's
okay,
easy.
By drawing the diagonals.
Yeah.
And he then took the perimeter of the cake, which was 40 inches, and divided it by 5.
Yeah.
Okay, so he started at one corner and marked off 8 inches, leaving himself a piece that was 2 inches long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, on that side. He then started at that point and went 2 inches and 6 more. Okay, and then he kept doing that until he had marked off 5 equal segments on the perimeter of the cake.
Sure.
Then he drew lines from the center of the cake to each of those marked off positions.
Yeah. And you get pieces which don't look alike at all.
And through some clever geometry.
No, creative geometry.
No, he demonstrated to us that, in fact, all of those figures, some of them are trapezoids, some of them I don't know what they are, some of them are triangles, all have the same area. And thus, if you calculate the volume, which is the height times the area.
They obviously have the same volume. And
they have the same amount of frosting because... if the tops have the same area, we know the sides have the same area because they're each 8 inches long. Voila, the same amount of frosting.
Yeah, now this is a great problem for high school kids.
It is a great problem, and we will leave it to the listener to verify that the geometry is correct, and we'll be awaiting the flood of letters. Rather, Ken will be awaiting the flood of letters. And there may be other solutions to this, but this seems certainly the simplest and the most elegant.
And it's great. And it's great.
And it's wonderful.
And we have a winner.
Who is the winner?
We have a winner. The winner is Nancy McCrae from Saratoga Springs, New York.
A beautiful place, I might add.
Yes, a beautiful place. And for being such a clever listener, our pal Nancy gets a copy of our brand new cassette / CD. What? Why do I say that? What are we going to actually send her? A cassette or a CD? Doug says, whatever we have more of. So you'll get either a cassette or a CD, The Best of Car Talk, which features, among other highlights, our mother's one and only live appearance on this show. It was while she was on The Lamb, the very time we discussed with the cake. And on this show, she practically disowned us. I remember when someone called and asked her if she had to do it all over again, would she have kids? She said, not really. That was cruel.
Kind of a vague answer, actually. Not really.
It was cruel, though. It was cruel. I remember I splattered my hot chocolate all over the table when she said that.
Anyway, if you didn't win the Puzzler this week and you still want a copy of The Best of Car Talk, you can get one from our Shameless Commerce Division, whose number is 303-595-5905, and we'll give it again and again and again at the end of the show. More importantly, we have another non-automotive.
Ah, just like this week's was non-automotive. I will attempt to try to remember.
Non-automotive new puzzle coming up during the second half of today's show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us with your automotive or non-automotive question at 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Jason from Miami. How are you?
Jason!
Hey, what's the weather in Miami these days?
I won't brag, but it's about 75 degrees.
75.
All right, hang up on him.
what's on your mind,
Jason?
I have a 92 Ford Taurus that is having some problems, and I wanted to call and just throw them at you and see what you can come up with.
Sure.
This car is a 92. When I first got it, it was one of those wonderful demos or lease program buybacks that the dealers offer.
Uh-huh.
And when we got it, it was running fine, no problem. I bought the extended warranty knowing that I'd put a lot of mileage on it, and that came and gone. About 2 weeks later, it decided that it was time to break down.
Uh-huh.
What happened is I went out, and I wasn't using it on a weekly basis. So I was going out on Saturday and Sundays and basically riding around at that time. This one particular Saturday, I took it down to a supermarket, was coming back, and started smelling fumes. And needless to say, the gauges never showed anything. I got it back to the house in one piece, opened up the hood, and steam started pouring out from underneath the hood.
Oh.
So now I'm starting to look around, trying to figure out maybe it's a blown hose or something pretty simple like that, and I can't see anything.
Okay.
So then I bring over my father-in-law, who's a shade tree mechanic is probably the best way to put it. He's the one that can always open up, take it apart, but not for sure if it really went back together the right way.
Yeah.
So we got it back. We took a look at it, and as we're looking at it, he starts it up, and then water starts shooting out the muffler.
That's okay.
That's okay?
Well, maybe okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at right now, and I'm trying to decide, because I really put a lot of money into this car, and it's kind of sitting there not being used.
So when you opened the hood this first time, the entire engine compartment was sort of enveloped in steam? Or you couldn't pinpoint where that was coming from?
The only place I could pinpoint it, because it's a front-wheel drive, so it sits the sideways, it was in between the side of the engine and the firewall.
Okay. You probably blew a heater hose.
Okay.
That's my guess. There are a couple of heater hoses that run from the back of the engine,
okay,
to and through the firewall to supply heat to the heater core.
Okay.
And you probably have a leak in those. We replace a lot of heater hoses on Ford Tauruses.
Okay.
They don't need to be replaced. We just do it anyway.
Okay.
We bought a case of Taurus heater hoses, truckload.
Okay.
And no, they do seem to have a problem. And we also always have a problem describing to the parts department which is the one hose that we need, because there are many.
Right.
If there's a number on the hose, if you do figure out which hose it is.
Okay.
If there's a number on it, you can shout out that number to the parts guy and get the right hose. Now, the way you're going to find the leak, are you a cheapskate and you determined to fix it yourself?
Basically.
Okay, I sense that.
And his father-in-law is going to love doing it with
him. Yeah, exactly.
There'll be a little male bonding there.
He's a diehard Chevy person, so the minute I told him the Ford broke down, he had a
He was thrilled, huh?
Came right over.
You know how that goes, I'm sure.
All right, well, call your father-in-law up and tell him you're ready to dive into this thing.
Okay.
And what you want to do, first of all, with the engine ice cold, is take the radiator cap off.
Okay.
And then you can fill up the radiator to the tippity top and put the cap back on. You can fill it up with water.
Okay.
Because it's all going to leak out anyway. And you can then run it, being careful to watch the gauge so it doesn't overheat, and try to find out where the leak is coming from.
Okay.
If you want to do it scientifically, you can go and actually buy yourself something called a cooling system pressure tester.
Okay.
Which allows you to do this test without running the engine and allowing it to build up its own pressure. You can simulate operating conditions by pumping this thing.
And what's nice about this is that you're not trying to find a leak of steam, which is going to burn your hands.
Right.
And everything that you do is done at room temperature, so to speak, 75
ambient
degrees.
It's ambient for Miami.
Yeah, really.
So you can go and buy yourself a cooling system pressure tester, which you put on in place of the radiator cap, and then you pump the thing.
Okay.
And then you'll see water squirting out. You'll get the number off that offending hose, and you'll spend the rest of the day trying to find it and replace it.
Okay. What would explain the water coming out of the muffler, then?
Chemistry.
Okay. No other place for it to go.
That's not the same water.
The
water coming out of the tailpipe is a product of combustion.
Okay.
CO2, H2O, all that stuff is a product of combustion.
Okay.
And all the other stuff that comes out that's no good for you.
My father-in-law was blaming it on the main seal or a warped head, and I was trying to figure out if that would be anything related to it or, you know, exactly where to start with
It's unlikely.
Unlikely.
It's unlikely. However, if you drove it for a long period of time without coolant in it.
Right.
Which sounds like you could have done.
Right.
You could have a blown head gasket or some other such thing.
Okay.
So you could have wrecked the engine, but we hope not.
I hope not either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck, Jason.
I appreciate it.
All righty.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, stick around for more calls and the new puzzler coming right up.
This message comes from Capital One, offering commercial solutions you can bank on. Now more than ever, your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services, all tailored to your short and long-term goals. Backed by the strength and stability of a top 10 commercial bank, their dedicated experts work with you to build lasting success. Explore the possibilities at CapitalOne.com/commercial, a member FDIC.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options within your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, an automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares why Betterment believes cash can be a strategic choice.
There are times when the market is volatile, when customers are a little nervous about investing. We came to understand that there was an opportunity to introduce cash as part of an investing strategy and to give back yields to the customer.
Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, nuclear physics, the greenhouse theory, and amore.
Amore. Amore is it. I mean, we have a couple of proposals of marriage.
To us?
I'll read you this one. I mean, this is getting to be a whole department here. We need a staff person. There's so much mail having to do with l'amore. That we need a staff person, and I'm going to have to come up with it.
Louis L'Amore.
Louis. I mean, here's one. I've just returned from picking up my beloved Camry at the Toyota repair shop, and I'm writing to make a modest proposal. The Camry and I are both getting to the age when we're beginning to require a good bit of tender, loving care. The Camry is 9 years old, and I am 52. We both have a lot of mileage on us. We need a good husband. My first husband was a PhD who had no knowledge of car repair. I don't want to make that mistake again. So, whichever one of you is available for marriage and relocation to the South, please let me know so I can book your flight to Birmingham. Southbound passenger train.
Yes.
I'm not worried about compatibility. Anyone who can maintain a long-term relationship with a Dodge Dart is plenty good enough for me. My first auto love was a Dodge Dart. I know you'll love my Camry, and you'll soon love Birmingham, too. We have what it takes. One, we respect our cars. We put them on cinder block pedestals and turn them into yard sculpture. Two, we never, get this now, we never shovel snow.
Well, I don't either. Three, a snowblower.
We have a terrific public radio station. That's good. Mm. You'll get what you need in the marriage, too, which is an in your own house, lawyer. Fortunately for you, one of my main areas of practice is libel and slander defense. So you can continue your freewheeling off-the-cuff, foot-in-the-mouth broadcast style, no problem. Don't you worry even a little bit about those stepchildren either. Each of my three 20-something children is in a long-term relationship with an older vehicle and will sidle up to you in no time. I'm sending a copy of my business card and the Camry's registration certificate so you know we're both for real. We're not real glamorous looking or anything like that, but we're both in pretty good shape considering the shape we're in. Wishing you all health and happiness in the new year, but if any misfortune should strike that would cause you to want to consider this modest proposal, please do give me a holler. Holly Barnard from Birmingham, Alabama.
This sounds like the gal for you, Frank. She does. I mean, the right
South,
age.
Right age.
Right age. The South, no shoveling snow.
She could be wife of number three.
She could be, yeah. I can see Joanne celebrating now.
Yeah, I just heard a little whoopee in the background. Was that my wife?
That was. That was online, wife. Online two.
Wife of number two. Whoopee! Get rid of this deadbeat.
All right, it's time for the new puzzles.
All right, and I am going to remember this puzzle. I'm going to do everything.
No, I know you'll remember.
Whatever mnemonic devices there are, when you say puh, I'm going to remember.
Yes.
Whatever you say.
No, you will remember it. I'm sure you'll remember it. Because
I never do.
Because you've heard it before.
Doesn't matter. I've heard everything before.
Many years ago, our dear producer, Dougie, lived in New York. And being the two-timing guy that he is, he had two girlfriends.
Oh.
One of whom
still
lived...
Still does, you know. Sip doesn't know about the other one.
No, knucklehead, don't say that.
Maria doesn't know about Sip.
Oh, well, cat's out of the bag now.
Should I not have said
that? I don't think you should have said that. Anyway, one of them lived in Brooklyn.
Yeah, one of them
lived in
Cambridge.
And one of them lived in the Bronx.
One of them was in Brookline. He's got one in Brookline, one in
Cambridge. No, one lived in Brooklyn.
Oh, one in Brooklyn, yeah.
And one in the Bronx. He was living in New York at the time.
Oh, I was thinking about the present day girlfriends.
Oh, no, that just makes for a better story. That will make for a better story soon. And he could never decide which one to visit. I mean, he liked both of them equally, and he decided that he would just throw it to fate. And he knew that when he went down to get the train, he would descend the stairs into the subway. If he...
IRT?
Yeah, I think so. If he stood there, pretty soon a train would come. And if it was the Bronx train, he'd get on the train and he'd go visit the girlfriend in the Bronx. If it was the Brooklyn train, he'd get on and visit the girlfriend in Brooklyn. And what made it great was that the trains ran equally often, every 10 minutes.
Oh, excellent.
Right? So he decided that he would go down at random times during the day, or night.
Or night.
So he'd go down the stairs at random times. He didn't know the schedules of these trains, but he did know that every 10 minutes there would be a Brooklyn train, and every 10 minutes there would be a Bronx train.
So he figures the chances are 50-50 that I'll get a Brooklyn train, Bronx train, and I'll divvy up my time equally.
So the question is, how many times did he end up in Staten Island going down the Bronx?
Which is not easy to do. Yeah.
Interestingly, cool. He found himself going to Brooklyn 9 out of 10 times.
Jeez. And is he sure that he's going into the station at random times?
Random times. And he's sure that the trains run equally often every 10 minutes.
Does he have a random number generator?
He has a random number generator. He's going out at random times to be sure. And yet 9 out of 10 times he winds up in Brooklyn. Mm. And he does it many hundreds of times. So that he knows there were cosmic forces drawing him, it's a family show, Tommy, drawing him to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
What was the nature of those cosmic forces? What was drawing him to Brooklyn 9 times out of 10?
M1, M2 over R squared times gamma.
You got it. Now, if you think you know the answer, write that answer on a postcard or the back of a $20 bill or more, a larger bill. If
larger bills will be acceptable to us.
And mail that answer to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. And I might add that if you have a wonderful new puzzler, automotive or not, that you think we could benefit from, or that America could benefit from.
We certainly could benefit from
Please
any
puzzler.
Please
send it to that same address and write on the envelope, new, potentially great puzzler inside. Yeah. Now, if we choose your answer to the puzzler at random from among all of the correct answers and you catch us, we'll send you a copy of the Best of Car Talk on cassette or CD. And if you send us a puzzler and we use it, we'll also do the same thing.
If you catch us at it.
If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's CJ Holloway.
CJ.
CJ Holloway.
Wow. I sound like a football player, don't I?
You do. Where are you from, CJ?
I'm from Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder.
Boulder.
Excellent.
Yeah,
CJ.
A lot of fun.
You know, they named a Jeep after you.
Yeah, and you know what? That's interesting because that's what I want to buy.
No kidding. You'll be CJ with the CJ. That'll be interesting.
You know, the dilemma is I have an 87 Honda Accord. It's got 187,000 miles on it. Mm. It's a great car. It looks really good. The interior's really good. Never had any work done on the transmission at all, ever. And I've been really good about, you know, doing all the normal stuff, the brakes, the batteries, you know, changing the oil every 5,000 miles, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Is it a stick shift or an automatic?
It's an automatic. It's an automatic.
Oh, that's very good.
And so my dilemma is, do I find a chump to buy this car? Or, you know, or do I let it, you know, die a long, drawn-out death? And, it, you know, about every 2 to 3 months I have to have it towed because something breaks and I have to go fix it. So,
sure,
you know, what should I do?
What do you mean, what should you do? Should you, I don't get it.
Should I sell the car while I can still get some money for it?
Or should you wait and try to
in
sell it
words,
when you can't
you know,
get any money
yeah,
for it?
Yeah, and how much, if I do find this chump, how much can I get for the car?
It may surprise you that this car is probably worth a couple of $1,000.
Yeah.
Really?
Surely.
Aren't you surprised? Didn't I say this may surprise you? And indeed it did.
Indeed it did.
My
now you were thinking
on end as we speak.
You were thinking more like maybe getting a couple of dozen donuts for it, right?
from a policeman, an off-duty policeman.
Or some teenagers that want to have fun for the weekend.
For the weekend, right. Yeah, no, it's probably worth a few $1,000.
So if it's worth a few $1,000, should I just keep this thing? All the mechanics.
Ah, see, now all of a sudden, you think you want to keep it because you don't. Because you believe now it's worth something.
Right.
Whereas a minute ago, when you thought it was worth 2 boxes of donuts, you were ready to junk it.
Drive it off Flagstaff Mountain. No,
it's clear you have the hearts to get another vehicle.
And we don't know how strong the hearts are.
It appears to me.
That's just it. How strong is the heart on this car? All these mechanics are like, oh, yeah, you know, you'll get $350,000 out of it.
But they're
of
nuts.
Course, they're making money on me every time I bring it in.
Of course.
Yes, they are.
I'm nothing more than a major transmission bill waiting to happen.
There's no question about it that the car is nearing the end of its useful life.
Poor Whitey.
I mean, there is some chance that it might go 350,000 miles, but we're talking about on the normal distribution way out there in the 0.01% on the right-hand end.
I mean, look at it. Look. Let us look at an analogous human situation.
Right.
My brother is at the end of his useful life, or near the end of his useful life.
What? I haven't even approached usefulness yet. I've never been useful. I was hoping to reach
the best is yet to come.
To aspire to usefulness.
and he's waiting for a major transmission failure.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we're going to junk him.
Certainly not.
No.
He's tried. God knows he's tried. Yeah, I mean, it seems as though you don't really mind every couple of months when it breaks down and you have to have it towed.
Well, you figure it's probably less than a car payment.
You know what would improve this condition significantly? A cuter mechanic. You're probably going to some grizzled old
Neanderthal.
Gnarly hands and whatnot.
Like, he's 57 years old or so.
Right.
Yeah. Looks like he's 120. But if you were,
and he's all covered with grease.
Right. If you were going to chip, and Chip were 28.
And Chip was just dying to have you come in again.
And he had a golden retriever.
Yeah.
Right.
You couldn't wait to break that. You'd be out there yanking spark plug wires off.
Yeah.
Just so you could get your little Whitey towed into Chip.
Hi, Chip.
And you say, here I am again, Chip.
It has to be a little, hi, Chip.
Hi, Chip.
Yeah. That's it. You got it.
That's good.
So,
yeah.
Just a thought.
That is a very good idea.
And then you could, it would be good if Chip, I've got it. Chip has to not be from Boulder.
Oh, really?
I would get a mechanic a little bit outside of the city.
Why, pray
so
tell.
That when it breaks down and Chip says, it's going to have to stay overnight.
Oh, where are you going to stay,
CJ? Why don't you stay at my place?
Oh, you could say, I'll sleep in the car. You'll say, no, no.
No, no. You'll be too cold. I'll let my golden retriever sleep with you.
You know, that would be just my luck.
Well, I'm glad we could help you, CJ. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Did we help?
No, bye-bye.
Well, you've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Punkin' Lips Berman. Our associate producer and dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken Euclid Rogers.
Ooh.
Our engineer and assistant producer who has stopped in to say hello between vacations is Jennifer Travel and Leisure Loeb. Our technical advisor is John Bugsy, Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Twinkle Toes, Hula Hips, Donut Breath, Gigabyte, Make That 2 Triple Cheeseburgers, Snowblower Man Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our literary critics are Ernest and Julia Hemingway. Our jazz music coordinator is Bertha de Blues. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. My Foot.
Warren T. My Foot.
Our director of gender studies is Amanda B. Reckon with. Our director of country music is Stan Byerman. The chairman of our underemployment study group is Art Majors. And our child seat tester, of course, is Julie Weiner. Our fleet manager is Oscar De Laurento. Our director of nutritional supplements is Rose Hips. Our director of Cadillac steering is Toulouse Dutrac. Our staff marriage counselor is Marion Haste. Our producer's office is furnished by Rick Kleiner. And of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the snowboarders on Mass Ave in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week, we hope. Bye-bye. If you want a taped copy of this week's show, which is number 4, you can get one by calling 303-595-5905. If you want a transcript of this week's show, call 303-595-5905. When the tape arrives, put it in, press play, start writing.
You can also order a copy of our lousy tape, The Best of Car Talk, through that same number, which is 303-595-5905. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
Celebrating 25 years of radio excellence.
25? What about the 8 years that we've been on?
Celebrating 17 years of radio excellence and 8 years of programming on a par with CBS's primetime schedule. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator for Planet Money podcast on NPR.